The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day edition. A partisan primary hangover edition right here in the great state of Wisconsin. And Dom, we got a fine guest. He joins us live via stream. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's our pal, Bill Press. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Bill. Hey guys. Good to see you. Good to see you. How about it? It's pretty exciting. Heading for Chicago this weekend.
Yeah, baby.
We are heading down the DNC just around the corner. Bill, Kamala Harris is breaking my brain, though, in this regard. Kamala Harris is going to do a rally at the Pfizer Forum, the site of the RNC convention in Milwaukee, Tuesday, right, in the middle of DNC week. And while I think this is political brilliance, sort of involving Milwaukee in this greater event.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Little outfits like Civic Media, you know, trying our best to cover it all. Bill, I don't know how I'm going to pull this doubleheader off on Tuesday, but I'm going to try to do it, man. Welcome back, Bill. What do you think of this bright idea? I think it's smart, but it's going to.
No, I think it's a great idea. And you know what? She'll have a bigger crowd in Milwaukee than Donald Trump did, probably.
Well, isn't that the optics she's seeking? I mean, Trump's whole reason to come to Milwaukee was to troll the fact that DNC never materialized during the pandemic. And, you know, what a flipping of the script that would be, Bill.
Oh, yeah, no, I love it. I love it. But so how far is it from Chicago to Milwaukee?
90 minutes from the Fiserv to the United Center door-to-door. 90 minutes.
Then you just take a quick trip to Milwaukee, do your thing, and then come back to Chicago.
If she times it out.
Problem solved.
If she times it out properly, I'm all down, Bill. I love your plan. Yeah. I was just telling Rich, I love when a plan comes together. Here's Bill Press on a Wednesday afternoon. So, Bill, I think there is lots of excitement for this candidacy. This entire campaign's been turned on its head, and we see polling now suggesting Harris is winning the swing states, including ours here in Wisconsin. And when they go to the polls, it matters. Bill, we had a partisan primary last night. Republicans supported constitutional referendums to hamstring the Democratic governor were defeated 58-42.
Wow.
Tammy Baldwin got 600,000 votes. Her Republican opponent, who actually had primary opponents, got 475. You add them all together, they still lost to Tammy by 50,000 votes. And they had a contested primary. Bill, I see these all as very good blue tea leaves here in Wisconsin.
Very good. Very good signs. And look, in Arizona, a pro reproductive choice, right, measure is going to be on the ballot in November. There are seven states so far since the Dobbs decision where pro-choice people have put measures on the ballot. Every single one of them has won, right? It's the best thing for turnout. It's an issue that women, Republican and Democrat care, and men care about. And they've all proven successful. And so that's great news for Democrats in Arizona. I believe there's already a measure in Missouri that's qualified, the same thing. So far, it's 7-0, right? And the Republican side, the Trumpian side, have lost every single one of them. So look, things are looking good. I mean, I know you can't can't take it for granted, but I don't know anybody who is. Nobody's taking this thing for granted. It's 100 days. It's going to be hell bent to the leather every one of those 100 days. And I, let me say, I'm feeling that we could take the table. Take the table. Hold on to the Senate, pick up a seat or two, win back the House, and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the White House. Absolutely. And the Republicans that I've talked to, I just had lunch with a senior reporter today, I'm not going to give his name, who covers Trump a lot. And he said they are really having second thoughts about this whole campaign. And they realize they got one big problem in 2024, right? It's the candidate. And they're stuck with him. And they nominated this nutball for the third time. Imagine that, the third time. They can't come up with anybody else in the whole freaking country to represent the Republican Party than this phony, lying, racist, whatever you want to call him, Donald Trump. It's unbelievable.
Maybe there's a reason for that. You know what? Maybe he's very representative of what the Republican Party has morphed into, this mega party, man.
Right.
I mean, any traditional conservative Republicans have either been, you know, brought over and changed and body snatched, or they've been ostracized and basically kicked out of MAGA.
Yeah. No, that's right. No, he does absolutely represent the MAGA movement, right? 100%. And anybody who supports him, I think, is as guilty as he is of all the above sins, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the idea that that's what the Republican Party has become is really tragic. And I think they deserve to get their asses wiped out. Total. That's the only way to beat them. Just wipe their asses out, knock them off the map, political map. And then, you know, if there are any responsible Republicans come back, I thought Chris Sununu was one, but he's just as bad as Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and all the rest of them now. But if there are any responsible Republicans come back, then they can come back after 8 years of Kamala Harris.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Bill Press. He's our friend. You can find him on Twitter at Bill Press Pod. Bill, the rambling interviews of Donald Trump, this Elon Musk thing, the Mar-a-Lago thing, the things that, you know, Donald Trump continues to say, and I saw your piece at the Hill, the fake helicopter crash, right? I mean, these lies and false statements he continues to make. Oh, Kamala Harris is AIing her crowds, right? I won the election in 2020. He goes on and on and on. Is this a mental lapse in your mind, Bill, or is this a strategy, or both?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, so I was in the San Francisco Bay Area last weekend when the Willie Brown story hit.
Oh, good timing.
Good timing. You know, nobody messes with Willie, man. I got to tell you. And I was with a reporter on my podcast. So I was interviewing Joe Garofoli from the San Francisco Chronicle. He's the guy, he's watching the news conference. For whatever reason, he just thought Trump might say something about Kamala. This is San Francisco's district attorney, right? California's attorney general. California's U.S. senator. And he hears this story about Willie. And he knows Willie really well. And he knows where's Willie, what time it is and where Willie is. He's having lunch at Sam's Grill. So he calls him on his cell phone. And Willie says, hey, dude, I'm having lunch, right? I'm not going to call me back later, right? So he calls him after lunch. And Willie just laughed and he refuted the whole story. As we know now, Donald Trump, he confused Willie Brown with Jerry Brown. So he confused the black Brown with the white Brown. He accused the helicopter ride that it turned out did have some trouble was going from New York to Atlantic City with a different black politician by the name of Nate Holden, who's from Los Angeles. By the way, nobody confuses Nate Holden with Willie Brown because Nate Holden is like 6'2", and Willie Brown's about 5 feet. He got everything wrong. And then the idea that he said Willie or Nate Holden was trashing Kamala Harris. First of all, when Nate Holden took that helicopter ride, Kamala wasn't even elected to anything, right? So they didn't talk about Kamala. And Willie Brown never been in a helicopter with Donald Trump. So he wasn't trashing Kamala. I don't know whether you saw Jon Stewart. I'll get back to the rest of your question first.
Yeah.
But John Stewart has said, now, we're supposed to believe the helicopter's gone down. They're facing imminent death. They're going to see their maker. And Willie Brown says, wait a minute. Before we die, I just want you to know that girl I used to date, she's no good. I need to tell you that before I meet my maker, right? It is so crazy. I love it. But is it a lapse, a momentary memory lapse? Absolutely not. I think this guy is totally bonkers. Seriously, I think he's lost it. I did a podcast, I think 6 segments, 3 years ago, with a group of psychiatrists, leading psychiatrists. They published a book called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. And this was right after they tried to get a mental capacity test of his before the 2020 election. They failed. So they wrote this book. And they all said, this guy is unfit to be president of the United States, right? It's just gotten worse since then. As you point out, look at the statements, right, that he's made since. He says Joe Biden's going to show up in Chicago and steal the nomination back from Kamala. He also says it's unconstitutional for Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee, right? I mean, so suddenly he cares about the Constitution, right? 15,000 people show up with their cell phones or taking pictures at the Detroit airport, and Donald Trump says none of them were there. There was nobody there. It's all AI generated. I mean, you go on and on. So he's having a news conference tomorrow. Yeah, because the last one went so well, right? The Willie Brown story, the last one. It's insane.
He's going to the golf course for this news conference because apparently the Four Seasons landscaping was already booked, Bill.
But you go on. Did you say? He said Venezuela has released 70% of its prisoners and sent them to the United States to vote in this election. I mean, seriously, we have an insane man, I think. Totally.
Well, criminally insane, Bill, because he said he's going to, if he doesn't win the election, he'll go to Venezuela and do another interview with Elon Musk there with no extradition laws.
No, yeah.
Come back with us and our fine guest. Oh. He is Bill Press. He's a friend of ours. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. And he writes frequently at thehill.com. I find his opinion pieces there. You can find him on the other side of this short break right here on the greatest radio show ever. We like to call it, Bill. When you're on it, it might be
true. I
agree.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. 844-967-2789.
Dom, we got a fine guest. He is Bill Press. He's sticking around. We appreciate you doing so, Bill. I don't know if you know, but I feel like Trump's in Fat Elvis version of Trump. You know, he's sort of out of new ideas, but he did roll one out in Asheville today. Apparently, somebody gave him a miniature box of Tic Tacs. So he held up a normal size box of Tic Tacs and a little one and said, "This is inflation." And I'm thinking, for a guy who's got a reputation of Tic Tacking up before he sexually abuses women, I don't know if I'd use that as a prop at the campaign rallies. What do you think, Bill?
Listen, the more he makes a total fool of himself, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not surprised. He doesn't get it, right? He's just, I don't know what planet he's living on. But one thing I want to mention earlier, I just have to say this. I think personally that J.D. Vance looks a lot better in drag than he does when he dresses up for the U.S. Senate. And, you know, think about when you look at the old pictures of Ivana Trump, and when you look at the pictures of Stormy Daniels, and you look at the pictures of J.D. Vance in drag, There's something going on here.
Gentlemen prefer blondes.
It's the Donald Trump type. And J.D. Vance fits the bill, right? Man, little did we know.
What strange days, Bill. You know, I remember, like, when I was growing up, like, if you had pictures of yourself passed out or you're in drag, I mean, these are things that would ruin someone's political career. And, you know, people dress in drag, so what, man? You know what I mean? No, someone imbibes in college, so what? But, no. I mean, back in the day, though, that would be disqualifying for serious political consideration. Nowadays, especially on that side, I mean, at least the Dems, I mean, people are human, right? People do things, Bill, and the party can, you know, kick them out or whatever the case may be. But it just seems like the bar has been so lowered with this mega crew.
It has. And you know what? I don't give a rat's ass if JD dressed in drag on Halloween up at Yale, right? It's just funny because they make themselves so, you know, morally above all the rest of us, you know? I'll tell you one thing. You will never see a picture of Tim Walz in drag. I can guarantee you that. You will not see a picture of Tim Walz. You'll see him with a hunter's hat cap on or something.
Right, right.
Yeah. I just saw something flashier that maybe you talked about this. J.D. Vance and Tim Walz have agreed to debate on October 1st.
Is that the Fox News debate? Where is it being held?
I don't know. I just saw a headline flash on my screen.
All right.
So that's news to us, Bill. You're breaking it for us.
Breaking news. So if that's so, man, I can't wait for that debate. That's going to be worth the price of admission, as is the debate with Kamala Harris and Donald Trump.
Yeah. October 1st on CBS News, apparently, according to the Fox Lies website.
And September 10th will be the debate between Trump and Harris. And Bill, what are your odds that Trump will drop an N-word in the middle of the debate because she will so frustrate him?
First of all, what are the odds that he will show up? I guess,
right.
I guess he will, because he really does think he's good as a debater. Let me tell you. Kamala Harris, she is a force of nature when it comes to interrogating people and not taking any crap, right? She will wipe the floor with Donald Trump.
She starts laughing at him, Bill, I think it's going to be disarming, because she will come off as joyful and he will just fume. He will just be so angry, Bill. You're going to see the veins pop.
Oh, yeah. I just hope she says, okay, here we are, Donald. Say it to my face.
Yeah, right.
Tell me that I'm not black, Donald. Tell me I'm just pretending to be black, Donald, right? Tell me that you agree with J.D. Vance that I'm not a real American. I'm a lesser American because I don't have my own biological children, right? I just have two great stepchildren. I mean, she ought to go after him and repeat to him everything, all the personal insults against her. I think she ought to put them right in his face and make him respond to them.
Well,
he won't know what to do.
Bill, will she call him a felon to his face? Because that's the punchline I'm looking for.
I hope she does. You know, Joe Biden did, but he didn't land the punch, right? When he said the only convicted felon on the stage is the one I'm looking at. I think this... We haven't heard, by the way, we haven't heard enough of, as much as I thought we would hear about what I think is a great tagline for this campaign, the prosecutor versus the felon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to tell you, you've probably seen it as I have. There's so many commentators now saying, oh, Kamala Harris, she has to lay out a 90-point plan on every issue. Well, come on, get out of here. To me, the difference is a difference of personalities between the two, right?
Yeah.
And we know what Kamala says. She basically stands for, she believes in climate change, right? She believes in a minimum wage. She believes in lower prices. I mean, she believes in the Affordable Care Act. We got to know. She believes in not putting right-wing extremists on the Supreme Court. She believes in reproductive freedom. We know where she stands on the issues. I think the difference is not in terms of policies. It's a difference between two personalities, you know. One, I think, is normal, and the other is just basically weird.
Bill Press at Bill Press. Pause. Just over a minute. Bill, tomorrow, next week, look forward to seeing you in Chicago. You've been to a few of these, man. We got Barack Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Others are going to be speaking. What's your expectation?
First of all, I think Monday night is going to be St. Joseph, right? We're going to say all the great things that he deserves about Joe Biden. And then I think Thursday night, Wednesday night with Tim Walz, Thursday night with Kamala Harris is going to be one of the most exciting moments of any convention ever. That's history in the making. I wasn't going to go to this convention. I'm going to Chicago just for Thursday night. It's going to be a great moment. And I think we're going to see a huge bump after this convention for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
And Bill Press, you will leave a little time on your calendar to party with the Devil's Advocates, right?
No. Wherever you guys are, I'll find you. You tell me. And I'll be there. We'll have fun.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent.
We might even drink one together.
Huh? Well, you never know. It's Chicago. Weed's legal.
Bill, all I can say is today I'm saying yes to everything, my friend.
All right.
We'll see you in Chicago next week.
See you in Chicago. All right, guys.
Thank you, Bill.
Folks, the rest of you better stick around. More Devil's Advocates. Time for your calls. 844-967-2789.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, a happier, happy hour. Always happy to see our friend Bill Press. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster. We'll hopefully have him join us during the big DNC anchored coverage that Dom and I are going to provide next week. You can listen wherever you normally listen. We'll be anchoring the in-city broadcast for WCPT 820 AM. Our friends in Minneapolis will hear us on KTNF 950 AM. And of course, check your local civic media station. We'll be broadcasting there 7 to close each and every night. Monday, St. Joe. Tuesday, Kamala's rallying in Milwaukee. And they got to fit in a Bill Clinton speech, a Barack Obama speech, a Hillary Clinton speech. Hell, there's a lot of speeches. And then Tim Walz gets Wednesday night. And of course, Harris gets Thursday night. Dom, we will be there each and every night broadcasting, bringing you there. And if I can pull it off, I'll do a doubleheader on Tuesday. I'll see Kamala in Milwaukee. And then we'll do the DNC coverage in Chicago later that day. It's going to be a busy week. The political god shining upon the greatest radio show ever, Dom.
Sounds like a lot of work, Rudy.
It does. I had a little brush with greatness today, or perhaps.
Oh, man. Every day at 3 o'clock when you come on the air with me, baby.
Or I was going to say, perhaps someone in the community did. I saw UW volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield, and I was pulling into a parking lot, dropping off my dry cleaning. He was picking up. You know, big week in Chicago. Got to have sport coats, Dom. So you've got sport coats.
What? I don't know if I got that memo. No, I don't have sport coats.
How about a collared shirt? How about?
I got the one with all the rock and roll stars on it. That were the mug shots. That's a collared shirt.
Well, just pull out your
wear it every day.
Collection of suits.
My collection of concert T-shirts. I went and saw the Struts last night at the rave, man. I'm gonna bring a T-shirt from that.
Well, as long as you're properly attired.
What does that mean exactly? Does that mean pants and flip-flops or what?
I would expect no less from you. 844-967-2789. Let's take Dick from Madison. He has been a patient soul. Dick, welcome back to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hey, guys. I wish I could ask Bill Press this, but back to Trump briefly. Now that he's up to 12 states that don't want him to come because he owes them money, and this is not getting personal, but it's very sophomoric of me, and that's me. But, you know, some names for him I came up with. How about Double D? Deadbeat Donald.
Oh, there we go. He does. I mean, literally, how can a billionaire owe, like, you know, the city of Green Bay, you know, $20,000 for the extra cops or whatever it may be? I mean, I'm not saying that's the number, but it's not a lot of money if you're a billionaire. But, it, you know, it certainly is something for the local taxpayers who got to foot that for you.
Correct. And how about prepay Donald? And then last but not least,
I prefer COD Donald.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. But how about this one? He's constantly hammering on illegal immigration, you know, and saying, you know, they're a draw on this. Well, what about deadbeat campaigners?
Right.
Who just can't pay up? I mean, across the board, this guy is a total deadbeat. And that's not saying anything about his physical appearance. I think, and she won't go there with the lock him up, but how about deadbeat Donald?
I mean, it works for me, Dick. I like it when the candidates are a little bit above, maybe give a little hint of the pettiness, because, you know, they sure got it coming. But, you know, that's not the way we want to do things. I think, generally speaking, you know, leave the name calling generally to the Republicans and to the devil's advocates. We'll jump in there and do that. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. 844.
That's kind of my lane. Name calling.
789. Right, dude.
Well, I got momentarily distracted to finish the thought, my brush with greatness. UW volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield. I had him parked in. He was trying to enter a dry cleaner. And as I mentioned, I had to get my dry cleaning, and then we got on a tangent. But so, you know, I like had him blocked. He didn't know whether to cross or whatever. And eventually I just stopped and let him cross. And I see him inside and I say, "Coach, fan, really appreciate what you're doing with that program." And he looked at me and he didn't return the favor. Didn't say, "I love what you're doing with your program as well, Mike."
No, maybe, no.
Well, I'm not wearing a Badger hat today. Maybe he didn't recognize me.
It's like saying, "Oh, I love you," and you'll get, "I like you back."
Uh-huh.
Eight, 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. Rich is going to lightly screen your calls, and we'll get back on. I want to throw this one out there before we run out of time. It's been a Jack Shaw, Rebecca Cook, Kristen Lyerly, Bill Press, and, of course, you, our fair audience. Now is your time to pipe in. 844-967-2789. I got to thank the Wisconsin Democratic Party for this one. I got on the email list. They send out these, you know, their press releases. And one of them had a press release regarding Hovde. And it had a link to a Washington Post article that I did not see yesterday. So I'm going to bring it to your attention. And here is what how the Washington Post describes this article. Wisconsin GOP Senate hopeful says Obama tried to stir anger over race before elections. Yeah, the angry black man. Eric Hovde, the Republican U.S. Senate candidate in Wisconsin from California, has accused former President Barack Obama of using conflicts between police and black men to try to generate maximum anger before elections. Hovde made the comment in a podcast interview with conservative commentator Chris Salcido that was published Tuesday. The two were discussing the backlash that some Republicans have faced for suggesting that Vice President Kamala Harris, who is black and Indian American, was picked for her job because of her race. This is what Hovde said. "It all started with Obama." You know, the black president, Crudy.
Come on,
"It all started
man.
With Obama. Obama ran on hope and change and bringing us together. And then he used race as a tool and a weapon. And he would find, 6 months before any election, some incident between the police and typically a young black man. And then they would whip it up to create anger in the black community." Now, Hovde mentioned as examples Freddie Gray, Michael Brown, and Trayvon Martin, two black men and one black teenager who were fatally shot. Hovde said it was, quote, "always an incident sometime in May or June because it was about 6 months out so they could get maximum anger generated." Now, as the article notes here, the deaths of Gray, Brown, and Martin occurred in April of 2015, August of 2014, and February of 2012, respectively. Brown's death in August of 14 was the only one that occurred within 6 months of a major election, the November 2014 midterms, and Obama urged calm in a statement about Brown's death Here's what Obama said at the time. We should comfort each other and talk with one another in a way that heals, not in a way that wounds. Yeah, the angry black man. You know, like what are you saying here, man? Like these young black men, a couple of my, I don't know if they're police officers involved, but what, they martyred themselves for the political cause? Or is it maybe that's just like, you know, at the time, lots of young black unarmed men are getting killed by police. You know, maybe that's happening statistically too much, Hovde, or could be what? A plan by Obama to gin up angry black people before an election? I mean, it is such a disingenuous and ignorant, racist, maybe, statement, comment, observation. The guy is not a serious candidate. You can't possibly think that's the way it is. That somehow a political candidate is going to, what, try to have people murdered, martyred on their behalf so they can gin it up? I mean, he's putting it out there like this was Obama's plan. And if it was a plan, if it was a conspiracy, certainly those who were murdered would have to be part of it, or at least those that did the murdering. I'm not exactly clear what Eric Hovde is trying to say here, but it's just another example of him being not qualified for any elected office. Just because you're rich, bitch, doesn't mean you're qualified.
No, you misconstrued, Dom. I've got reporting from the Journal Sentinel. Totally contradicts that sentiment.
Oh, okay. Enlighten me then, please.
Eric Hovde says he'll outperform past Republican candidates in liberal bastion Dane County. Good luck with that, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I will make it my life's purpose to make sure that does not happen. And you're still going to lose to Tammy, perhaps by 10 points or more. I'm seeing it in a Leah Vukmer-like performance, but here's what's written at the Journal Sentinel. Dom, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says he expects to fare better than Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Republican former gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels in the Democratic stronghold of Dane County in the November 5th election. Now, he apparently thinks so, Dom, because he lives here, and Tammy Baldwin spends all her time in D.C., not Laguna Beach.
Weird. Isn't that where her job is?
Now, Hovde made his comments to reporters Wednesday following a WisPolitics event at the Madison Club. The real estate and banking mogul said he sees boosted voter engagement as a positive element in his race to deny Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin a third term. Here's his claim, Dom. I'm working hard. Do I think I'm going to win the Madison area? No. But do I think I'm going to compete better than Senator Ron Johnson, or certainly better than Tim Michaels was able to in Madison? Of course. I was born here, raised here, lived here a long time ago. That's not exactly what he said. Born here, raised here, given to more charities, Dom. I've had my business here for 20 plus years. Johnson, who won the 2022 race, had more than 68,000 votes in Dane County. Tim Michaels, who lost, received more than 62,000 votes. So we got a benchmark at least.
All right. 68,000 is the
68,
number.
68,000. In comparison, Johnson's Democratic opponent, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, got 231,000 votes in Dane County. Tony Evers had 236,000 votes in Dane County. I'll take those odds, Hovde. As he enters the sprint towards the November 5th election, it says here, Michaels, I'm a little thrown off. I got to think they mean Hovde, said his plan is to work, work, work. Although I can see why they would confuse candidate Hovde with the failed campaign of Tim Michaels, you know, because they're on the same trajectory at this point. Here's a quote. They got it right in this quote, Dom. Talk to people about the issues that matter. The economy, number one. The border, number two. Healthcare, crime, Hovde said. Now, Hovde declined to answer a question about his net worth. Oh, I'm rich, bitch. No, he did not answer as such. I'm answering as such. But according to his financial disclosures filed last month, Hovde listed assets between $195 million and half a billion dollars, down $564.5 million, much of it in Madison and Milwaukee real estate holdings, corporate securities, and stock in SunWest Bank, the Utah-based financial institution for which he is chairman and CEO. His liabilities in mortgages and lines of credit range from 11.6 to 53.3 million. So he's still in.
Now, does that include the
pretty good shape.
Millions of dollars that was were reported by Politico or ProPublica? I'm not
Bermuda
clear. And in Bermuda insurance companies active report full time.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to get into that question, is what Hodvi answered. Hodvi, yeah. Why would I? Why would I? I'm successful, you know, in America. Part of the American dream is to be successful. Work hard. So I've worked my tail off. I've been a workaholic. I've taken an enormous amount of risk. And what have I done with my success? I built homes all over the world, rescuing and saving kids out of slavery, sex trafficking. It's amazing how you guys don't talk about that. If I was a Democrat, you'd be talking about that all the time.
Wait, what?
If, you know, he did good works as a Democrat, that's all they'd talk about.
But he's saving kids from sex slavery?
In response to what's your net worth? I'm rich, and I save kids from sex slavery all over the world. That was okay. His response.
Hey, all the drill crew, you can ask any questions you
successful.
Want. They're gonna give you the answer they wish.
I'm rich, bitch! That's the answer. Come back, more Devil's Advocates, less wealthy. We're radio hosts.
Yeah. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. We'll get to you, 844-967-2789.
Dom, a little bit earlier, we had Bill Press on the show, and Bill broke some news to us. A vice presidential debate. I got a campaign solicitation from the Harris-Walz campaign. Boy, I can't wait to debate this guy. Michael, I just agreed to debate J.D. Vance on October 1st. That's news that Bill Press broke to us. Dom, what was the platform, if you recall?
I think it was CBS.
October 1st, a vice presidential debate. Boy, I've got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy. J.D. Vance shares Donald Trump's dangerous and backwards agenda for this country. Heck, he even wrote the foreword for the architect of Project 2025 agenda. I'm going to do my best to make sure everyone watching our debate knows just that. And then Tim goes on to ask me for a little more money than I've already given.
Now, that foreword that was written by J.D. Vance for this guy, apparently that book has been delayed. They're not going to put it to print before the election?
The J.D. Vance forwarded book written on behalf of the Project 2025 guy. I'm less clear on the publication dates, Dom. Yeah, I'll try to get back to you on that.
I've seen reporting that it's been delayed. It's not coming out quite yet.
844-967-2789. Chris from Rice Lake. Welcome back, man. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
How are you guys doing today?
I am doing pretty damn good, considering this state is showing me all indications it's getting ready for a blue wave, Chris.
Don't knock it. Just keep that underneath your hat. Quiet.
I got to keep my bald head under my hat, Chris. But I get your point. I don't want to jinx it, but please continue.
Do yourself a favor and let everybody know where you're supposed to meet this Bill Press in Chicago. Okay. We don't want to, you know, mix up like we had last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever.
Hey, man, forevermore, Chris. I will have in my mind party with Chris at the wigwam. But that night, it just escaped my brain.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm really glad about our Rebecca Cook. I hope she uses that videotape of Van Orden getting pushed around by that little lady that was a foot and a half shorter than him. And probably 100 pounds lighter than him, you know, getting hip checked by that lady that jumped in front of line, and then
that was political violence, Chris.
Political violence, dude. I mean, what a terrible situation, Chris. I really love the fact that we have these kind of big bully, boisterous, middle-aged old white men you know, talking about Van Orden going up against Rebecca Cook, talking about Donald Trump going up against Kamala Harris. I cannot wait to see their reaction on the stage when they actually have to face in real time one of the people they would normally try to intimidate and harass.
It'll be interesting. I don't even think he'll debate her. I think Van Orden is just going to kind of, you know, skate around the edges. I mean, that district is so gerrymandered. He almost can't lose it. You know, he'd have to, you know, really do something awful.
Well, I mean, he only won by like 4 points last time, Chris, and that was with no DCCC, focus. Or, I mean, that was kind of a written off race. And Van Orden's so bad. You know, I mean, even some conservatives got to be thinking, man, this guy really representing us? I mean, guy gets busted carrying a loaded gun onto a plane. He yells at you know, kids at the Capitol. He, you know, parties in the office, if at least alleged by the cans left over in the garbage. He offered Crudy's wife a beer at 9 a.m. Central. I mean, that's good Wisconsin hosting, I guess. But he is a terrible candidate, and he skipped out last time, Chris. He didn't debate, and he got away with it. So maybe he'll try again, or there will be so much pressure on him, he'll have to if he's really concerned about winning this race.
My understanding, DCCC has about $4 million earmarked for now Rebecca Cook's campaign, or at least to benefit, to lift her campaign, to crap on the Van Orden campaign. And, you know, I think that's earned. I think Van Orden earns any crap that's thrown his way.
he's not a don't know the man. All I can, you know, what I read about, what I see, when you have a young lady who's, you know, 100 pounds or 50 pounds lighter than you, and you and she bumps into you and hips checks you as you're trying to butt in front of her, and you claim political violence. You claim political violence, and this is that, you know, after, let's think about the time frame here. This is after the assassination attempt on Trump, right? I mean, talk about going to the edge, man. Political violence because you were the one being a jerk, and she didn't let you be a jerk.
Well, don't.
And so she
don't forget
into
the
you and
code pink lady.
Yeah,
sat in holding for like 15 hours.
Yeah,
I hope she sues his ass.
I hope so too.
That would be a little too Eric Hudvey-like, though. He's suing everybody these days.
Hey, you know, Van Orden caused that woman's incarceration, or at least her detention, for 15 hours based on false claims that can be proven by the cop's video. So, yeah, sue his ass.
You got $75,000, or at least your fine attorney did, on your behalf, which you had to share mightily with him, but for like 30 minutes.
Believe that?
They should multiply that out.
She should hate Nazis.
She should get millions. But, of course, that wouldn't come out of Van Orden's ass. Folks, thank you to all our fine guests. They included Rebecca Cook. She's running in the 3rd CD. She's a fine candidate. Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She's running in the 8th CD. She's a fine candidate. And Bill Press, our buddy. Party buddy, Bill Press. We'll be partying with him in Chicago next week. You can listen. We'll be playing across the Civic Media Network on WCPT 820 AM and KTNF 950 AM. We'll be doing all your DNC coverage and maybe Kamala to boot. Thank you, Rich. Thank you all for listening. Have a great night.
Rich.